Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
So we're asking you, what has your ex-boyfriend kind of held for ransom in order to keep the relationship going? Good morning, Penny. You're on all the hits, Q100.
It wasn't an ex-boyfriend. It was my ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we had a commitment ceremony. We purchased a boat together, and it was a $47,000 boat.
It's
somewhere up in Lake Allatoona. And she told me that if I don't go back out with her and have dinner with her after 4 years, that I can just... I'll never find the boat.
Yeah, that's serious ransom. That's like leaving you like pictures of her on the boat in all these different lakes going, here's where we are now. You'll never see this boat again. You'll never see me again.
No, it was a bad relationship anyways. But
of course, because now it's over.
Melissa, yeah. I want to tell you.
Yeah.
I flew all the way to New York to see Bette Miller.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she was awesome.
I can't wait.
Awesome concert. And Bert,
yes,
don't say that it's the old stuff. No, she's kick.
She's kick.
Let me tell you what Bert said off air.
Can I say kick ass?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you what Bert said off air. He put her just one step above Celine Dion.
Somewhere wedged between.
Oh, you
if,
did.
If Barbara Streisand and Celine Dion had a child, it would be Bette Midler.
Bette is better than both of them.
I just don't see it.
Is the Bette Midler draw a gay thing?
No, I mean, it's a talent thing for me. If a lot of gay people there, a lot of gay people are there. It's
but I mean, does she have the same following as Cher does in the gay community?
I'll find out Sunday night.
Okay.
I think she does. Yeah.
All right,
guys. You take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Melissa, if you can find this woman's ex-girlfriend or wife or whatever, you can get yourself a boat.
She'll sell it to you cheap.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Morning. Erica, you're on all the hits, Q100.
Well, I just recently broke it off with ex-boyfriend of mine, mm-hmm. 2 years. And he has decided that if he can't be with me, then he's going to leave the country.
Okay.
And just totally.
Yeah, so what do you have to lose?
Yeah, so I'd be like, see you later.
That's bad news because.
Well, I guess, now I have the reputation of having someone leave the country and not come back.
Oh, I think that's bragging rights more than anything else.
Come on,
he was so in love with me. He could not only be in the same city or the same state.
Right.
This man had to flee the country.
Oh, if somebody was upset over me and left Atlanta, I mean, come on. Am I going to be upset?
That's a bad negotiation on the guy's part. He wasn't thinking very well there. If you don't get back with me, I am going to move as far away from you as possible.
Okay.
Well, he pretended that he left 4 days ago.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I'm talking to him online. 10 minutes later, walks through my front door.
Oh, no.
He pretended he left to say, well, maybe, she's going to come back to me, all this kind of stuff. Well, no. He's really leaving tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
For real, leaving tomorrow.
All right, let me get this whole thing straight. You and he break up. He makes the stupid negotiation of threatening you that because the breakup was so bad that if you don't get back together, he's going to move really far away from you. And then when you say, I'm sorry, it's just not going to work out, he thinks somehow that if he's talking to you online that you're going to come around and he walks through your door thinking you've changed your mind in 4 days?
Well, yeah, he expected me to be like fall into his arms, like, oh, God, thank God you're here and you didn't leave. Or something like that.
It's amazing how fast people lose their cool when they get dumped. It's just amazing how they think that in 4 days, all of a sudden, she's going to come to her senses and decide she wants to be with him the rest of her life.
This dude is pathetic.
Oh, no. I got proposed to 2 days ago.
Same dude?
Yeah, I decided, you know, he came back, okay, you know, we can do this. We can, you know, go see a movie, hang out, you know, just as friends. No. We get back, and I'm trying to leave because I figured, okay, that's it. You know, got to go home, got to, you know, calm down. And he's proposing to me.
Let me tell you about the two kinds of friends that guys have. They have sex partners and potential sex partners. So there's no just being friends with them.
Right.
And it, yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Wow, it really is. All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Morning, all
now,
the hits. What?
I was going to say, since this topic is ransom, now if he had taken something of hers outside of the country with him, that would have been smarter right. for her to contact him, but he didn't even do that.
Morning.
My cousin and his girlfriend broke up, and she had this dog. The dog loved her and she loved the dog. So out of vengeance and trying to keep her, he thought he'd take the dog and hold it.
Yeah, you hear this kind of thing like in marriages all the time that break up, like in the divorce papers and the settlement, like he'll keep the dog or she'll keep the dog that she knows that he loves so much just to be spiteful all about it.
Well, then he tried to give her back the dog at the time and she went and bought another dog. So he got stuck with the dog.
Serves him right.
That's a great way to come.
It was probably like one of those poodles that's, you know, groomed
that he can't
with like
take
puffy, puffy feet.
It's a dog that he has no business being seen in public.
Right. Good morning, John.
Hey, I got a solution for your friend with a ticket.
Okay.
Why don't you have her meet her ex for a light bite before the show, but bring her own date with her?
Oh, that's good.
There is no way faster to get through to an ex than to show up with your own date.
Yeah, well, but is smart. That yeah, that's true.
That's
but is that
smart.
Fair to the new date, though? Like, the new date has to sit there in between the two. Like, my suggestion was for her to meet up, you know, set a meeting with him, but have somebody else show up and get the ticket, like a friend or something, show up without her to get the tickets. Because I don't know.
If it's not a date, though, it doesn't have the same sting, and you know, she needs to go on the offensive and instead of being defensive about it. You know, that's the only way to get rid of some of these people.
She could do the smart thing and stay home and carve things into her skin instead of going to see Batman.
All right, John, see you later, man.
The Burt Show.
All right, Michael Keaton of Beetlejuice fame and also Pacific Heights and Batman, My Life, Mr. Mom, going to join us here any second.
Just so you know, when he calls, that if this comes up, I didn't give you a time, but they said, okay, Michael Keaton's going to join you in a minute. You've got 2 to 3 minutes.
Two to three minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't tell you that. So
we got a 2 to 3 minute interview with Michael Keaton.
Take as long as you want. I'm just saying that because if we're in the middle of somebody who's like, yeah, I found this great website. It's all naked people doing all kinds. And then you suddenly have to go to Michael Keaton quickly. That's why.
Dan, skip the whole introducing everybody on the show that takes 2 or 3 minutes, okay?
We wouldn't have even agreed to do the interview if we knew it was only going to be 120 seconds long.
But here's how we can either make it exciting. You can do we challenge you to actually do an interview in 3 minutes or less?
No, there's no challenge. I can't do it. I can't even say the Burt Show on all the hits of Q100 in 2 minutes.
This is Melissa. Melissa, say hi. This is Jen. Jen, why don't you say hi? That takes 3 minutes right there.
Right. We got 13 members of the on-air staff.
Hey, Michael, we're going to play Beetlejuice for you now. And when you hear a spot that you thought you could have done better, we want you to tell us to stop and then reenact that spot.
Hey there, Michael Keaton, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
We're doing good. I want to let you know something right off the bat, though.
Okay.
We are a chatty, we are a wordy morning show.
You are.
And we just found out from your people that we only have like 3 minutes with you. So I am going to...
No.
I am going to put the end of this interview in your hands. You tell us when you're
wordy,
done.
When you say chatty,
yes.
Are you making good use of your words? Are you good with the language?
I would define chatty for you, but it would take me 7 minutes.
Well, don't do that. It's like me emailing. The other day, my assistant just bought me a Palm Pilot where you text message people.
Yeah.
I did this. I just got done working on Herbie with Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
You cannot believe how quickly she can email or text message people. Her little thumbs are just flying. It took me, I timed myself. It took me about 14 minutes.
We've got the same thing here. Like intern Jen, you have to be like 24 years old or younger to
have
that gene.
I am a Luddite.
Michael Keaton joining the Burt Show on All the Hits Q100. So, Michael, when you want this interview to be over, you tell us our time is up, or we're just going to keep going.
Okay, I'm pretty much done. Thank you very much.
Great. Very nice talking to you. Very nice talking to you. I think the first thing that I would really like to ask you, because we only have 9 seconds left,
okay,
is, like, I thought that with the whole Batman legacy, I thought that when you signed on to be Batman, you were going to be Batman for 19 different movies, like, right, like the 007 franchise.
Right.
And I'm just curious, did you back out of that?
It was not good. It was not a good script. And I said, hey, I'll do the third one, but we got to redo the script. And you know, interestingly, and I predict this next one will be good because there's a lot of really talented people involved. But interestingly, what they're doing in this one is what I suggested for the third one. I said, I don't think this script is well written, personally, and I know the writer's a good writer, but I thought, this is not good, let's just work on it. And I thought it was more interesting to go back and do more of a prequel. And that's apparently what they're doing in this one. And I'll bet you this is good. Not for that reason, but I just have a feeling that it'll be quite good. But anyway, it wasn't good, and I said, I want to go on to do some other things.
Now, I know in Hollywood, every actor has to be respectful of other actors, but was there any kind of, you know, secret satisfaction when they kept talking about how George Clooney killed Batman?
No, I think what happened was George said that. He did. He said. I've never heard this, but my friends, people have told me. And George, you know, I know him, but we've never talked about that. According to my friends, he has told people. He said Michael Keaton's clearly the best Batman. He knows how to do it. I single-handedly destroyed it, which was not true. He's a very charming cat, you know.
Did you sit down and watch the other Batman movies?
You know, honestly, I've never seen them. Now, I did poke my head in. I was at a multiplex once, and it was playing down the hall, so I don't know what I was seeing, but I went down to poke my head in it, and it's not out of any kind of vengeance. I just had no real interest. If somebody would have told me, God, this thing's brilliant, I probably would have got to see it, but I didn't hear that. So mm-hmm. I didn't go.
Talking to Michael Keaton on the Burt Show on All the Hits Q100.
Beetlejuice is one of my favorite characters ever, and I have to know from you, will there be a sequel? Would you take that role if there was a sequel?
You know what? You guys should start. I'm dead serious about this. Start a groundswell, because that you should start promoting that idea, because I'm telling you, that first of all, it's a guaranteed moneymaker for them, and also it's one of the only things I'd like to do. I get bored real quick doing things, so mm-hmm. I'd like to move on. I had so much fun doing that, and I think we only scratched the surface. So I would do that movie again. If Tim Burton would produce it, I would love to do it again.
Who do we call for that? Because I've never started groundswell.
You call 1-800-GROUNDSWELL.
I think you text Lindsay Lohan. That's how you start it.
You know, and looking back at your movie career, you've done so many great movies, and it's so easy to tell by your resume, like, you really love stretching yourself in these different roles.
Yeah.
What do you want, like, the one movie, I mean, in 130 years when you're not around anymore and only your movies are left, what is the one movie you want people to look at for Michael Keaton as the legacy that he left behind?
Wow, there's something I never thought of. Honestly, I as nuts as this may sound, it might be Beetlejuice, because I think what my goal has always been, you know, originality is really hard to come by from any of us, and something that's totally, truly artistic and original is really tough. And I think that movie is truly a piece of art, because look at the other people involved in it, and Tim Burton, and there was nothing like it. So maybe as an artist, I would want to look back and go, you know, that. But besides that, I honestly can't think of probably that one, I guess.
Well, I think Beetlejuice is a pretty satisfying answer for all of us.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said how you get bored easily. I'm curious, because I'm really excited about White Noise, because I think the subject matter is fascinating. What about that, you know, attracted you to do this movie?
Well, that, you know, I do, and I do. There aren't that many. I have the irony is I have tons of interest, and that's one reason I, you know, don't work that much, and I'm off doing other things that I'm interested in. But I really wanted to go back to work, but only in something that interested me. Mm-hmm. And when I read this, I thought it was just one of the better written things I'd seen, and really unusual and totally different from other things that I've seen out there. Not only read, but movies that I've seen, and especially in this genre, it's kind of a thinking man's version of this genre, and very scary. But I thought, well, this will never happen, because I'll never find the right director. And then they sent this guy over from England to talk to us, and he had a great take on it. And I just thought it was really, literally, legitimately frightening, and made you really think. I was on the Today Show with Katie Couric the other day, and she went on and on about how much she was, how enthusiastic and how
interested she was in this film and the mm-hmm. subject matter and how much she liked it. And Dr. Phil did the same thing when I was on there. So it's making people talk because it's this phenomenon that I guess is starting to pop up. Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered, like, when you're working on a scary movie like this, even though you know what's coming up while you're shooting it, it's in the script, do you still get scared as hell when things are happening on the set that you're acting in?
Well, you know, you're talking to a guy who gets scared at, like, certain kinds of cheeses. So, honestly, it's hard for me to get scared in movies when I see them. Even as a kid, it really took a lot to scare me. But I come from a big family. There were seven of us, and I took great pleasure in scaring everyone in my family. I loved scaring people and being scared, but I never would see movies that scared me very much. And I thought this had the potential. Exorcist scared me, and Rosemary's Baby scared me. Mm-hmm. And Poltergeist was pretty scary. This I thought was not only scary, it was like kind of a good mystery in the thriller.
Do you think that we can get messages from the other side? Because it's kind of
I would have told you, you know, before I started this film, no, I never even heard of this. I don't even know what people are talking about. I think it's just a good idea for a movie. It turns out this goes way, way back. There's an article. I don't think I'm repeating myself, but there's an article in the London Mail, I believe, and there's all these little articles popping up all over the place about an awareness of this. And this thing dates way, 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 way back. They've got recordings of people. I mean, so they claim, you know, and it is really, really interesting. And after reading this article yesterday, I had to do a whole rethink about it. I mean, I had to really, because it was verified by respected scientists that there is something that comes across that they can't explain. They have recordings of Gregorian months going way, way back, and hear voices in them that they can't explain.
Wow. Well, the name of the movie is White Noise. It starts, when does it start, Michael?
Tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow with Michael Keaton. Your people are buzzing our cell phone big time, so we got to let you go or we'll never get an interview again. Very, very good talking to you, Michael Keaton. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
Good talking to you.
Bye
now.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I don't think we can possibly understand the frustration of a commuter that has to commute every single day. Like, when we put this vent line up, I mean, first it was kind of a joke because Melissa said she was dealing with road rage. But people have taken this very, very seriously.
Well, I mean, it is a serious thing because, you know, I definitely am a different person behind the wheel of a car if I get stuck in traffic. And
I can just see it, like, the horns come out. Like, Melissa's so nice and sweet and diplomatic all the time. She gets in there and it's like, fangs come out.
I turn into a sailor. I cuss like one. I shake my fist. I, you know, do the whole hand motion. Like, what are you thinking? You know, the whole thing. And yeah, like you said, though, I get in traffic every so often. People every single day, they know when they get up, they're going. I mean, they plan their morning accordingly. And they plan the time they get out of the office based totally on traffic just to get stuck in it.
There's some kind of comfort factor about being in your own car. Like, for some reason, you think that you can do anything. And you forget the fact that somebody can get out of their car with a bat and smash your window and get right into you.
All right.
But here's the traffic phone line, the traffic hotline phone number. It's 404-255-3535. And like I said, most messages that we get, we got to beep out because people are pretty upset sitting in traffic.
First message.
When you speed up to go around somebody, you don't slow down when you get back to front of them. It's not hard to do. You maintain the speed. You don't put on your brakes.
Next message.
Are you f-ing kidding me? 35 miles an hour entering Georgia 400? Move your f-ing ass.
Next message.
There's some sitting here that I'm like won't move.
He got me red hot like chili peppers.
Next message.
Motherfucker, why don't these people use a turn signal? People, be considerate. Turn on your signal, for sake.
Next message.
You in the black sob in front of me, you're not that important. You can get off your cell phone and drive. Get off the phone, use your blinkers, and pay the attention.
While she's on her cell phone.
Right. Some ashes on I-20 that can't seem to move the piece of car out of the road after you have an accident. Get the hell out of the road. You're making me late every day. I hate you.
Stupid motherfucker driving a 4x4, dipping in and out of traffic. Stupid son of a.
Oh, it's cathartic.
I'd love to play some for you that aren't cussing, but there are none.
You cannot. I mean, come on. You're stuck in traffic. There's no way that you can call a vent line and not cuss.
404-255-3535 is the Burt Show's traffic vent hotline number.
There's some in here. The light won't move. He got me red hot light chili peppers.
The Burt Show.
Jeff, we're going to need the voice disguiser for this call.
Okie dokie.
And some of the facts here are going to be a little bit off because Ashley, quote unquote, that's not her real name, is having a real tough time with her dad right now and can't quite figure out exactly how to handle it herself. So she's hoping she comes on with us this morning and some of you guys, maybe from both perspectives, maybe from like a parent's perspective can give her some advice, and okay, also from maybe somebody that's been in the same situation that has parents that really kind of have their thumb on you a little bit, you know?
How old is she?
Let's ask her. Hey, Ashley.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the voice disguiser, so there's no way that anybody can recognize your voice, okay?
Okay, great.
How old are you?
I'm 20. I'll be 21 in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's start from there. So what's going on?
Okay, well, a couple of weeks ago, my dad came to me and told me that he wanted me to get on birth control. And I told him that I didn't need to, I didn't want to. There are several different health reasons, especially that for people in my family, my cousins have been on it and have had a lot of problems when they come off of it. And I just don't think that I need to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't feel that he trusts me or that he doesn't believe me. And that I'm just being stubborn or whatever, but he's telling me now that either I get on it or I can't go out and stay out all night. I can't go on vacations.
Once again, how old are you?
I'm almost 21.
So you're obviously living in your parents' house.
Yeah, because I'm still in school right now.
Okay.
Okay. Now, do you have a relationship with your mom or is your dad the primary parent?
Yeah, it's just my dad.
It's just your dad. Okay, oh. Okay, so he's not consulting with your mom on this.
No, I mean, I have my stepmother, and he talks to my stepmother about it, but I talk to her about it, and she feels the same way that he does.
All right, have you confided in your parents before that you are sexually active?
No, I'm not. I've never been. I'm still a virgin.
And you're still a virgin?
And you're committed to saving yourself until you're married?
Yes.
And they know that?
Yes.
They just don't believe that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Well, first of all, it certainly sounds like there are some trust issues here. So there must be something in the past, in the history, that make them have these trust issues, either be it with you or be it with some experiences with some friends' kids. Is there a history of that?
They're watching too much Dateline or Primetime.
Too much OC is what they're watching.
I don't know. I think if you just knew my family, especially my cousins, and how wild and crazy they were when they were my age, it might have a lot to do with it. But I'm not a wild and crazy person. I'm just kind of laid back or whatever, and I just think that they look at my cousins and see how they need to be on it for, you know, certain reasons, and then they look at me and they'd be like, well, we want her to be on it just in case. But I really just don't know anymore if they really do believe me or not.
Okay, so that's almost like, so their only point of reference is your cousins who are of similar age, or at least back in their past, they were pretty wild. And your dad is, I'm guessing, and your stepmom, pretty conservative.
Not really. They're just very protective when it comes to me because I'm the baby of the family and everything, and I've always just been treated like I was the baby of the family and like I'm a little girl.
Okay.
Can I eliminate a bunch of the calls? Because, I mean, we're going to get a million people who are going to call up and go, you are 20 years old, you're an adult, and granted you live under their life, but you need to make the decisions for the health. Because I think that's, I don't know, I mean, that's my first thought is you're 20 years old. This isn't a decision that your dad makes for you at age 20.
But it's such a fine line here because is he paying for school also?
Well, no, I have a scholarship, but he is paying a few of my bills right now, and that's what I didn't want him to because I knew something like this would happen, and he could tell me, well, you know, you're living under my roof and you're paying, I'm paying your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, you have to do what I want, but I don't feel like this should be a rule that should be able to be enforced on me, and I'd be punished for it if I don't follow it.
Well, here's a question, because you brought up something about whether if you don't go on it, then you can't go out and stay out all night. Like, is that what he's most worried about? I mean, because you are 20, you're almost 21, so you're probably going out a whole lot. I mean, that's the age where you want to go to clubs, you want to go, you know, party hopping and that sort of thing. And so, are you doing other things that would make him not trust you? Are you coming in after curfew? Are you, you know, disobeying him on other things? Because you are living in his house, you know? I mean, have you given him other reasons?
Right after I graduated, I moved out for a while.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved back in, he told me, you know, he's like, I want you to move back in. And if you move back in, then I'm not going to put any of these rules on you. Because I know you've been out on your own, and you're not going to be able, you know, to handle living under my rules, saying that you have, you know, you have to be home by 1 o'clock in the morning, and you can't go out here, and you can't go out there. And he's like, I just want to know where you're at, you know, if you're coming home or not. You know, I just want to know that you're okay.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, okay, I was like, well, if you can stick to those rules, then I'll move back in. You know, I was like, I'm fine with that.
Does he still hate it when you stay out all night, though?
No, because I call him and let him know. You know, I'll let him know ahead of time before I go out that I'm going out and I'm not going to be coming back home. And, you know, this is where I'm going to be staying. And, you know, here's the number you can reach me at if you need me and, you know, anything like that.
It does feel, you know, I think Jeff brought up a really good point. Like at 20 or 21 years old, I haven't been in this situation, but if I was living at home, I wouldn't be checking in with my parents and letting them know where I am all the time,
right.
Giving them the parents' phone number to the people that I'm spending the night over or something.
No, I mean, I don't think do that. I mean, just like in case, like a lot of my friends, you know, they have their own places. They stay out on their own. And so, you know, I'll stay over there and I'm like, well, you know, here's the number to my friend's house just in case. But, you know, you can call me on my cell phone because I always have my cell phone with me. It's just, I do that out of respect for them because I know that they're, you know, my dad always worries about me. You know, I'm daddy's little girl and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, you know, I am 20 years old and this should be my decision, you know. I mean, I know I'm so young, but I consider myself to be a woman. And, you know, as a woman, I have the right to decide what goes in my body and what doesn't. And I think this should be one of those decisions.
All right, Ashley, I'm going to put you on hold for a second because obviously a whole bunch of people are calling up to give you some advice. But
okay.
I can't put you all on at the same time because we have the voice disguiser on.
Okay.
So I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to take some calls, and then I'll come back to you and get your reaction, okay?
Okay, thanks.
So don't go anywhere. Okay, can you turn the voice disguiser off? And Lydia, you're on the Burt Show on all the hits Q100.
Hi. My name's Lydia. I'm 20. And when I was 16, when I started going out and stuff, my mom put me on birth control. Well, I can see where her dad is coming from. Because, you know, just in case the worst does happen.
But.
And, you know, you want her to be protected.
But how old were you when your mom put you on birth control?
16 when I started driving.
That feels very different to me.
Absolutely.
Because
you are under the care of your parents at age 16, and they have to make decisions for you. And if that's a decision, I don't know if I agree with it, but if that's a decision that they made at age 16, they're entitled at 20. You are an adult.
And she said she's almost 21.
You are within weeks of being able to buy a beer. I mean, like, yeah, no.
I don't know, though. I tend to kind of lean towards her dad because she is staying out all night. He obviously doesn't like that. And she's moved back into his house. He's really providing for her and taking care of her again in the dad role. So how can you tell him, okay, please be a dad on one hand, but on the other hand, stop being a dad? Because he's really just trying to protect his daughter and be a dad to her.
See, now I don't think that you're saying stop be a dad. I just think you're saying stop being as controlling.
Yeah, but she's also asking him to be controlling in other ways, whereas he's providing for her and paying her bills, and he's in control in a lot of other ways that benefit her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't think that it's fair for her to move back in to mom and dad's house and ask them for some things and then demand things, like, and not do the whole give and take thing.
Morning, TC.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My take on it is I think that she has a dad who is at his last point of trying to hold on to his little girl, and he doesn't want to let her go. And, I mean, I could understand him trying to be protective of her, but there are other options. And for him to be so demanding, I think it's just his way of trying his last-ditch effort of trying to hold on. But to her, I'd say, I mean, you're coming into womanhood, so you have to decide, well, whether if you're going to stay in your parents' house and respect their rules and then, you know, cut out your hanging out all night and cut out the partying for a while until you can get your own place.
That was kind of my, Jeff and I were just talking about this off the air, and it boils down to, you know what, I would never handle it like this, but there is something to be said by if you're living under your parents' house, then you got to live by their rules, and Jeff thinks it's more of a medical thing than anything else.
Oh, not a medical thing, it's a human rights thing. I mean, this is not a rule. A rule is call me before you use the car, or if you use the car, return it with the tank full, or don't come in the house after midnight because it wakes up me and your mother. Those are rules. You know, keep your room clean. Don't park in the front of the garage door. Those are rules. Take a medication is not a rule. Not only do I think it's, I mean, it put a chemical into your body. I mean, I use the example of smoking, but going back to that, it's the same thing. You're introducing a chemical to your body that she doesn't want to. Not only do I think it's inappropriate, I think it's probably illegal. The solution to this is, I mean, she needs to move out. Like, he is forcing her to take a body-altering chemical.
I wonder, you know what, if this was like Law and Order, and we were looking at this case, right? He forces her to go on the pill. She goes on the pill, and she does get some kind of disease that is directly correlated to the pill. Would she legally be able to sue her father for that?
Well, that's the thing. Or vice versa.
Yeah, I think she does need to move out. Mm-hmm. But, different opinion, same solution. But vice versa, she doesn't go on the pill. She gets pregnant and then expects daddy to pay for it.
Those are all good angles.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could go either way. Good morning, Shay. You're on the Burt Show.
Hi. Yeah, I think maybe she should just go get the pill just to appease her dad and not take it.
No, she can't lie to him.
No, she needs to handle this with her dad.
As an adult, I mean, she's 21 years old, one way or another. I don't know that hiding it or lying to him is the right answer on that, but I don't know. I guess it's an option. I don't know that I'd handle it that way. Do you think that would only make it worse, right?
Yeah, well, I think she's got to do, I don't know. I think she's got to address it with her dad and do what she can to move out on her own, because she's been out on her own before. She's used to that independence, and going back and being parented again after you've been out on your own just doesn't really work. I had a similar experience. I went home for 6 weeks one summer while I was in college, and after just a year of being in college and going back for 6 weeks, it was like, I don't want you to parent me anymore. Right. You did a great job. Now I'm independent. And so I signed up for like the second semester summer classes, because it was like, I love you guys, but don't parent me anymore, you know?
Hey, Ashley.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like this is that very defining point in your relationship with your dad where you're not a little girl anymore and you're a young woman. And that's a tough conversation to have with your parents, but most have to go through it, and I think you're at it.
Okay.
You can do it. Stand up to him. You said earlier, you're 20 years old. You're a woman. You can, you know, you can express your opinion and, you know, It's gonna be a tough conversation, but it's one that you absolutely need to have. And if that means that you got to get a job and figure it out and consolidate your bills and get out of the house sooner than maybe you would have liked, then that's what you got to do. But you've got to face it like an adult in order for him to treat you like an adult.
Well, the thing is, I've already confronted him about it, and we talked about it, and he just refuses to listen.
Well,
he doesn't see it my way. And really, it's just because he does see me as a child, I think. And even though I act like an adult, you know, I'm mature, responsible, and, you know, when I was paying my bills, I was taking care of them, paying them on time, paying them in full. You know, I took care of my responsibilities at the house. You know, I went to work every day, showed up on time, you know, and I did, you know, everything right. And it's just, it really hurts me that this is the way he's rewarding me for it, know?
I would say that to him. I think that's a really valid point. And I also think this, you know, like in any business conversation, when two people are any relationship, when two people are on such polar opposites in opinion, if you come to the table with some kind of compromise, generally you both are going to walk away happy and disappointed, but at least you can get some common ground. So what is the compromise here? Is it the condoms for both of you guys?
I mean, I'd be willing to do that if that made him feel better, but I just don't really think he's going to go for it.
Well, it could be the condoms. It could be you promising that you're going to be home at a different time. I mean, it could be the staying out late all night that he, in the back of his mind, is going, well, she's not having sex, and what else is she doing?
Because nothing good is going on between midnight and 6.
Exactly. nothing good happens after midnight or 2 a.m. or whatever. So, I mean, maybe the compromise is you say, you know what, I'll be home by 2 or 2:30, and I'll, you know, take condoms everywhere I go if you just, you know, back off on the taking the pill thing. So
what are your instincts saying right now? Like, if you had to have the conversation with him in 5 minutes, what would you do at this point?
He probably would never agree to anything I said. It's his way or no way, and I don't know what would happen from there.
That's a prediction. I'm asking you, what are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to get on the pill, so I'm going to do everything possible not to. But if it comes down to it, then because I can't afford to move out on my own because of school and the way my school schedule is. I'd never be able to have a job that would work with me with the way my school schedule is to be able to move out on my own right now. So, I don't know how that would work.
So you got some thinking to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's check back in with you on Monday. I think, you know what? It may not be the same issue with a lot of other people, but I think we've got a lot of listeners that are probably in the same place in their life right now that are probably going to get a real education on how to handle a situation like this. And that's why I think it's pretty cool if we could call you back on Monday and find out how everything went.
Okay. All right, thanks.
All right, Ashley.
Good luck,
okay?
All right, I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Bird Show.